The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I certainly hope you weren't at a church yesterday where you had some unwelcome visitors because some of the pro-abortion people, a lot of people say they're not pro-abortion. I mean, that's a nuance that if that makes you more comfortable, that's fine. But they're certainly pro-abortion. They're all for it being legal, which means you're for it, right? They might not run around and go, hey, kill your babies. Although I'm going to play a clip for you today of somebody that was allegedly cracking a joke about whoever leaked the Alito majority opinion. And hopefully, praise the Lord, that'll actually be the final opinion when it comes out. But when people say, hey, I'm not for abortion, I'm just not for it being outlawed. There's all kinds of crazy subtleties that people play around with. And so yesterday I had the opportunity on this note, and as we've been paying attention to this for the last, it'll be a week tonight at about 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. My good friend Mark Harper, we've done a lot of things on Christian movies together over the years. And several weeks ago, if not over a month ago, he was like, Steve, you got to see The Matter of Life. You got to check this out. This is the new pro-life documentary. And as you know, I have an opportunity to see a lot of Christian movies and documentaries, and I'm very involved in a lot of different things and have been for years. So I'm always like, yeah, okay. But yesterday I sat down. I had a chance all by my lonesome yesterday to sit down and watch a screening of The Matter of Life, thematteroflife.org. And it broke me. It reminded me of when I watched Unplanned for the first time. I had visited that movie set and kind of knew what was coming my way. But the first time you watch it, if you've seen Unplanned, you know that some of the scenes are very disturbing and very powerful. And so that happened to me again yesterday on a number of levels, that it broke me. And I was weeping and I was fighting my rage and my anger and my disgust, to be brutally honest. And it was just beautifully done. It's a special two-night event coming next week, Monday and Tuesday, May 16th and 17th. It's a Fathom event, so you have to go to thematteroflife.org is the website, thematteroflife.org. I put the links up on Facebook just a little while ago. And for all of you in my radio audience, I already looked it up. It's going to be in Raleigh, Charlotte, Winston-Salem, Greensboro, High Point, Salisbury, Asheville, Greenville, South Carolina, Richmond, Virginia, Salt Lake City, Utah. So it's going to be in a theater near you. And note the timing. This was certainly not there. They didn't see this coming. How could they have? Yet, that's exactly what's happening, that The Matter of Life is coming out right on the heels of everything going on regarding the reversal of Roe versus Wade. The director is Tracy Robinson. We were trying to jump on Zoom earlier, but couldn't get that working. So here we are on the phone, which is just fine. Tracy Robinson, the director of The Matter of Life. Thank you for calling in, friend. How are you?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome, and thanks for making the time. I know it's probably an insanely busy week for you, but when you kind of bring it up in the elevator or just meeting somebody and you mention The Matter of Life and this documentary, how do you describe it to them? And then I want to back up and talk about how you got to the point that you made it.
Sure. Well, I say it's a documentary that clarifies the abortion issue, and we come at it from the science of embryology, the philosophy behind that, and we convey history and powerful personal story.
And so what led to that? Because when you read on the website, so if you guys are looking at thematteroflife.org, you kind of described yourself before as a pro-choice Christian, although that was nuanced, like a fair amount of people. Tracy, you were like, hey, I'm personally pro-life, but I don't think I should be able to force my beliefs on other people. How did that change for you?
That's right. Well, I was commissioned on and off to do some promotional videos for a pregnancy resource center in Ventura, California. And I was, like you said, I was sort of personally pro-life. I would never get an abortion, but who am I to enforce that belief onto others kind of an attitude. Very much in the mushy middle, very apathetic at best when it came to abortion. And it wasn't until my friends at the pregnancy center, the staff there, invited me to an apologetics conference, and the topic was going to be the case against abortion. And I thought, well, I'll go and check it out and see what my pro-life friends are talking about. And in less than 2 hours, the speaker, Alan Schliemann of Stand to Reason, he gave a clear, concise argument for the full humanity of the unborn child from the moment of conception. And he also invited us to look at the aftermath of abortion imagery. And so the truth really struck me. And in that moment, I realized this documentary needed to be made. Because I knew there were so many people in my shoes who had never heard the message before. They went through public school, even went to church all their lives.
Yeah.
And it was never brought up, and their parents never broached the topic. So when I heard the truth and learned the message, I was passionate about conveying it to people and unraveling this message for others.
Yeah, and the first time I was trained on the on this particular issue and how to get out and engage, and this shows up in the film, we're talking to Tracy Robinson, who's the director of The Matter of Life, was the story of Emmett Till. And Emmett Till, who was murdered down in Money, Mississippi, beaten beyond all recognition, shot in the head, dumped. And they when they got his body back up, his mom, famously, this ended up on the cover of Jet magazine, had an open casket funeral. It's an unbelievably brutal picture to look at. It's remarkable that she did it. But when questioned, of course, she wanted to, as she said, to open the casket on racism. So make you have to see what it actually is. And then I'm so glad you caught, when you fast forward a little bit, Rosa Parks, who had thought about not giving up her seat on the bus, but that particular day, and Jesse Jackson actually interviewed her about it later. He's like, well, what was the difference? Why did you decide all of a sudden that day you had the courage to not give up your seat? Which, of course, was the spark that started the civil rights movement and MLK and all of that. And she said it was all about Emmett Till and not wanting him to die in vain. You have to see it. You have to come face to face with it. And that's just a reality. A lot of people run from that, Tracy, but that is the reality of it, isn't it?
That's right. I was so moved when I heard that message, when I heard that context. Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute actually tells that story, the Emmett Till story of how he was brutally murdered in Mississippi in the 1950s, in order to set up the importance of why we ought to look at abortion imagery.
Yeah.
So it's a great analogy.
Yeah, it certainly is. We're talking to Tracy Robinson, the director of The Matter of Life. Tracy, I'm going to put you on hold. By the way, we might actually try Zoom again on the break, so we might give that a shot. We're talking to Tracy Robinson, director, thematteroflife.org, nationwide next Monday and Tuesday, May 16th and 17th. You have to see it. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, today talking about The Matter of Life, which is something that we talk about regularly on the show. We did, of course, a lot last week with everything going on with the Alito majority opinion, which just keep praying that that's the final opinion. There was another story that came out that looks like that's, in fact, what's going to happen. When that's going to come out, we don't know. But that just has opened up a can of worms, and abortion now is a front burner topic once again. And so we talked about it last week. We'll continue to talk about it. So The Matter of Life in general, but The Matter of Life in terms of a documentary. This is one of the best, if not the best, pro-life documentary I've ever seen. I was just talking on the break with Tracy Robinson, so we've got her by Zoom now. So if you want to join us in the studio on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, just go to the Steve Noble Show page there. And I'm such a skeptic, we're all kind of digital snobs now, meaning we're all used to you go see Doctor Strange or whatever, and that sets the bar for you in terms of film or even documentaries. The technology is there. There's so many films and documentaries that are so well done, and we've struggled with that in the Christian space, quite frankly, in the past. Things are getting a lot better. So this one, when I saw it yesterday, I was just blown away. Not just by the content. The people that spoke, a lot of the people that are featured in this documentary, I've known for years and I've had on the show, and some very difficult aspects where they do, which I appreciated, give you a warning about what you're going to see for 60 seconds. But it was so powerful and so well done. I mean, quality-wise, it's just off the chart. I'm going to pick up our conversation with Tracy, but I did want to play the trailer right quick for all of you guys so you can kind of get a feel for that. And again, next Monday and Tuesday, May 16th and 17th, it is a Fathom event. So you got to go online to get your tickets, thematteroflife.org. I checked The theater listing versus all the markets where the radio show is on, it's in all, and it's showing in every single one of them. Okay, so none of us have an excuse, and especially now with Roe versus Wade about to get overturned. We all need to get a lot more equipped for this conversation, and this movie will help you do that. TheMatterOfLife.org. Here's the trailer.
I think this is the battleground culture issue in America today.
How is it that we can trust an organization for whom abortion is such an important part of their business model to simultaneously effectively prevent pregnancy and prevent abortion?
The problem in America today is that people simply change the topic. The key to successfully talking about abortion is to try to bring the conversation back to one key question.
When you're an obstetrician gynecologist and you're pro-choice, you have to decide whether you're actually going to do those abortions.
I believe that being pro-life is the most progressive value that we can have.
The abortion industry is most threatened by Christians engaging in pro-life work.
Finding that pregnancy center was the only person I had to support me at that time.
She's got to know when she takes that pregnancy test that her church is not going to treat her like the Pharisees tried to treat the woman caught in adultery.
As a church, we can't just vote pro-life. We have to be pro-love.
And that's that brings up that point. You know, what is it? And they and the film handles that beautifully and unpacks that. Scott Klusendorf does that beautifully because it just answers that question. What is it? Because if it's not a human person, then it doesn't matter. Do whatever you want. Doesn't matter. There's a great little moment in the film where they're like, you're at the kitchen and you're cooking at the stove and your son or your daughter comes up behind you and says, without you being able to see him, they say, hey, can I kill this? What's the first question you're going to ask? What is it? Right? What is it? If it's a tiny little spider or something, you don't care. But if it's their sibling, well, that's a totally different subject. So things like that. By the way, when you heard that one person, it was a young lady who said this is the most progressive value being pro-life. That's actually an atheist feminist who runs Pro-Life San Francisco. I sent that link to that organization to our oldest son who lives in San Francisco. There's just one amazing moment after another in this film, TheMatterOfLife.org. And we're here today with Tracy Robinson, the director. Again, Tracy, thank you so much for your time and for doing this. It's just outstanding.
Thank you so much for having me.
So how do you decide kind of what direction to take here? There's so many different angles. It's like a big diamond with the issue of pro-life and those on the other side, because you really captured all the different facets of it. But how did you kind of design what you were going to pull off here?
Well, I had the advantage of being completely ignorant about abortion when I started this. And so when I learned the science of embryology, and the truth and the logic behind abortion, the fact that, we all know it's wrong to intentionally kill an innocent human being. I had to learn that abortion does that, and therefore it's wrong. But when I learned that, I had no idea about the truth behind Planned Parenthood or Roe v. Wade, how we got here, how we came to such a divisive, contentious issue. Has it always been this way? So I started to research for myself. And so I just knew I could really play a part in being that uninformed audience member. And so that really helped me shape this, knowing that most people don't know these facts.
Yeah.
So I wanted to cover a lot of different aspects of the pro-life message. From, what is the child? What is the unborn? To how did we get here? And then what can we do about it? So we also cover these powerful organizations that are doing great things in the pro-life movement, in the pregnancy care world. And we show powerful personal stories, testimonies as well of these redeeming stories of women who have been in crisis situations. So I wanted to educate people, but also give them some hope and some inspiration as well.
Yeah, and that's so good to hear that. And it really helps encapsulate what happens here, that your own journey coming out of ignorance, and I don't say that to be ugly, you know what I mean, coming out of ignorance to understanding all the different aspects of this and learning about history and learning things about Emmett Till, learning about the people behind the abortion movement and the feminist movement and how the feminist movement got changed. And I'm trying to remember the original, the doctor that eventually changed his mind that was one of the leading advocates for abortion. What was that guy's name?
Bernard Nathanson.
And so because as he comes face to face with the reality of it, eventually he changes. And he's the one that did Silent Scream, right?
That's right. Yeah. And Silent Scream really just leaves you, just stays with you forever. And we do show clips of him and in that film, showing what abortion is doing in an ultrasound. Yeah. But yeah, like you said, his conversion from being a abortion doctor in New York City, doing thousands of abortions, and then becoming an advocate or an activist mm-hmm. To push legalization of abortion in this country, he and his cohort were largely responsible for where we are today. But then, what the media doesn't love to tell you is that he had a conversion and he changed his mind because he saw the truth and the reality of what abortion does, largely because of that ultrasound. He was able to see an abortion during an ultrasound and saw the child struggling. And he devoted the rest of his life to trying to educate people in the other direction.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah. Super powerful story. And one of the other things about this and you got to hear this and understand this. I can go out and have conversations about abortion all day long with people that are pro-choice, that are pro-abortion, pro-choice people. I do not have to reference the Bible. I will, because I'm a Christian and that's my source of authority, but it's not theirs. And you can really see in this film, The Matter of Life, at thematteroflife.org, that there's enough reality. You don't have to quote the Bible, even though we do as well. We'll pick it up there. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Today, talking to Tracy Robinson, who's the director behind The Matter of Life, thematteroflife.org. I already checked earlier today, so next Monday and Tuesday, May 16th and 17th, this is a Fathom event. So you got to get your tickets online, and you got to get them as soon as possible so that you can reserve your space. But I checked the website, thematteroflife.org, where the tickets are, what theaters are versus all the radio markets that we're in, and there's 100% overlap. Okay, so you have absolutely no excuse to not go see this, and I'll challenge you on two fronts. Number one, and Tracy mentioned this during the commercial break, and I'm going to play something that happened over on MSNBC over the weekend just to remind you just how dark this is. But we bring people in your life that maybe like Tracy, I'm personally pro-life, but I don't think we should turn around and deal with that at the legal level or constitutional level. I shouldn't be able to. I'm not comfortable forcing my personal opinions on other people. That's my Christian belief. That kind of mushy middle, as Tracy said earlier. So that's important. But also, most of you need to shore up your ability to have this conversation. And because there's going to be a lot of people in this country absolutely going apoplectic as soon as this final ruling comes out, and then it's going to get pushed out to the states. We're going to be in this fight now for a while. And these conversations are important to be able to handle it and to handle it with the truth and with science and embryology. And yes, I'm going to use the Bible too. But for somebody that rejects the Bible, that's going to shut down a lot of conversations. And you need to shore up your ability to have the conversation. And then we want to get other people and challenge other people to be a part of it. But I want you just to kind of set all of our compass to understand just how dark this is. This was a panel discussion on MSNBC over the weekend. They're, of course, talking about the Roe versus Wade impending overturning, God willing. And this was one liberal commentator who also happens to be a comedian. And this was her take on it. You just have to hear this, okay? Just listen. Watch.
So, I mean, here's the thing. Here's my feeling about the leaker. I would like to find out who the leaker is so I can make sweet love to that person. Because that person is a hero to me. Okay? And if the leaker, a lot of people are saying it could be a conservative, if the leaker is a Republican, and if I get pregnant during our lovemaking, I will joyfully abort our fetus and let them know.
And so that's just one of those moments. That's one of those moments. And the host of the MSNBC show just starts laughing. I don't know if that's because his laughter was real or his laughter was just uncomfortable because he couldn't believe she was saying it. But yeah. And then I'll abort our fetus because you can't call it a person or a baby, even though the president did. And then and that goes back to that question. What is it? This shows up in the film. If your kid comes into the kitchen and your back is turned and they ask you, can I kill it? Your first question is always going to be, what is it? Of course, I'm not going to just say yes, because what if it's their brother or sister or the dog or the cat? It's always going to matter what it is. So what is it? That's the big question. And Tracy Robinson is with us, the director of The Matter of Life, thematteroflife.org, which is, again, opening nationwide next Monday and Tuesday. And for you going down this road, Tracy, what were some of the big aha moments for you in terms of just kind of coming face to face with what your own position had been, where you were a pro-life person individually, but didn't want to really kind of push that on anybody else? In terms of making the movie, what were some of the more impactful moments for you?
Well, I was really impacted the whole time I was editing the movie. I was learning more and just kind of becoming deeper entrenched in this issue. And it was breaking my heart the more that I heard from people and heard these stories and realized the story that was kind of coming together with, making this movie. What really, an epiphany that I had midway through is I learned that the church in America, particularly Protestant church in America, is very disengaged on this issue. And so what you have is well over half of major Protestant denominations in the United States are either silent or they actually make exceptions for abortion. Mm-hmm. And then you find that 4 out of 10 women who've had an abortion in their past were churchgoers in the month they became pregnant. That's another thing that I learned. And so I saw how they correlated together, because if a church is silent, then they're not on the offense of people's worldviews on this issue. And so you leave the culture to teach our kids and our young people, and they end up in vulnerable situations. And then you end up in having a church where you can't talk about abortion because there's too many women who've had an abortion in your church. So I knew that the target audience was always going to be Christians, because those are the people that would come to see the film. But I didn't realize that possibly this is a wake-up call for Christians as well. That was something I really understood or started to understand midway through.
Well, back like in the last election, in the 2020 election, actually, if you go back to the 2016 election, 68% of Catholics that voted for Hillary Clinton, who was uber pro-abortion, like uber. And you sit there and go, well, obviously, in our the president of the United States right now has a major problem where he claims to be a committed Catholic, yet he completely endorses and embraces and protects and would rather fund, I'm sure, abortion. There's just such a huge problem inside the church, which is why this is such a great opportunity. TheMatterOfLife.org is the website. All right, so let's talk about the elephant in the room. So a week ago tonight... It comes out, the Politico article, a 64-page plus all the other documentation that Samuel Alito had in there. I had a good buddy of mine that runs Operation Rescue on the show Friday. He said, I think Sam Alito's been writing the majority opinion for 50 years. And so it's I read it last week. It's unbelievably good. It does such a great job of dismantling the bad law that was Roe in the first place. But that happens a week ago tonight, Tracy, and ticket sales are slow. This is a tough topic to get people engaged in. There's a lot of apathy, and all of a sudden that happens. How did you react to that personally? This is just like God's providential timing, obviously.
Yeah. Like I said before, we were on the brink of canceling the theatrical release because, understandably, it's not a topic that people want to confront. Even if you are pro-life and Christian, you know it already. You don't want to go there. Maybe you're in pro-life work and you just know the answer's already. And so because of that, I think that ticket sales were low. It's just an unpopular topic. Mm-hmm. But like you said, the article broke, and how I reacted personally, I go in and out from disbelief to gratitude.
Yeah.
I it takes me, I need to meditate to really think about it. Mm-hmm. And when I do, it's just overwhelming gratitude because of the grace of God to allow this timing to happen.
Yeah. It's not like you're the only filmmaker in America. You're not the only documentary person in America. You're not the only Christian person in America. You're not the only person in the church that has had an interest in learning more. But all of a sudden, to see the confluence of all of that, to be used by God in any way, but especially in this way at this particular time. I mean, I don't know what your middle name is, but maybe it should be Esther.
thank you. I could never compare myself to Esther, but my God is my strength. That is the meaning of my middle name, Gabrielle.
Yeah,
and awesome. So God is really the strength in all of this, and glory to God.
Yeah. Amen. Exactly right. Glory to God. And I would say, and you and I don't know each other except for the show today, but, I'm a very skeptical person. I can be very much an Eeyore. I used to be much more upbeat, but just because of the world and things get kind of depressing. I actually don't think most Christians are ready to have a good conversation on the subject. Like I said, most Christians, convictional Christians I know, Tracy, are pro-life. But somewhere I always hear James out there saying, okay, fine, you show me your pro-life faith by what you say. I think you need to show your pro-life faith by what you do. And a lot of Christians aren't ready to have the conversation. This is coming to us. This all changed last Monday, and the culture and women in crisis pregnancies are gonna call us out, because we've been praying for this and looking for this for years. Roe versus Wade turns over, it goes back down to the states, and we have to be ready. We have to be ready to have the conversation. We have to be ready to help these women. You had several testimonials in the movie, The Matter of Life, where women are like, listen, I didn't know how I was going to do this. I didn't have any support. In the Noble family, you don't know this, but I've been talking about this on the air. Our pro-life chickens came home to roost 2 years ago in October, and our son and his girlfriend told us they were pregnant. That baby's name is Paxton. He turns one this month. And the compassion that's required and the support that's required is on us. It's on the church, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. I think that we really need to face this issue head on. We need to confront the truth. That's really where it all starts. And in the documentary, we not only give people the truth, but we show people, look, this is what's happening in the pro-life movement, in the pregnancy care movement. These are ways you can get involved using your gifts and talents. It doesn't have to be pregnancy resource centers or pregnancy help. It could be legislation. It can be showing abortion imagery. It can be showing fetal imagery, just educating people on the development of a fetus, of an unborn child. There's so many ways. Sharing your testimony.
Yep.
That has a powerful ripple effect to set others free as well.
That's right. Exactly right. We're coming up on the end of the break, but thematteroflife.org next Monday and Tuesday, May 16th and 17th. I'm going to keep talking about it on the air, Tracy. I reached out to Mark. I'm going to try to get a theater showing myself and get people in there. But God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Just a little shout out. Let me take a little personal moment here for a second. And I was got off the last conversation, and I was coming off the show, going into the break, and then saw a bunch of text messages. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's about my bride, Gina, who just passed her. This is a big certification exam to start doing ultrasound work. Sonographer, a certified sonographer. She's been in classes for literally 7 semesters now, and we're in our 50s. It's not that easy to remember. And the unbelievable, I mean, like the stack of her 3x5 cards studying for this test today, which was at 2:00 Eastern time, was about, I don't know, 16 or 18 inches high. It was unbelievable. She's put so much time and so much work into it. So I just talked to her over the break, and she passed, and she's walking out. She's so sure that she didn't pass, and they grade it right then and then hand it to you. And so we're just praising the Lord for that. So way to go, Gina. You're awesome. So cool. Somebody else that's awesome and pretty cool himself is David Fisher, our friend from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. How are you, my buddy?
I'm doing great. That's great news about Gina passing.
Yeah, man, she was just, I just literally just talked to her on the break, and she was weeping because she was so sure she didn't pass, and God just came through, and tons of people praying for her. So Super excited. That's really, yeah, that's really awesome. So, anyway, thank you. I'm trying to get my mind back into the game here. But I appreciate you calling as always, and I know we're always going to start with a passage of scripture so we can get our compass set right. You do not want to set your compass by the stock market, especially not in the last week or so, because that's just a bloody mess. So we're going to get our compass straight by starting in the Word of God. So let's start there, David, and then we'll pick it up.
Proverbs 31:10, a wife of a noble character who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. So obviously, I'm going to make this personal for you. I didn't choose this scripture for the only reason of being noble. But why do you think Gina passed? Because she's a noble woman. She's a noble character.
Amen.
And you guys have produced incredible children. You would agree, she's far more worth than any rubies on earth.
Oh, man.
And, you know, Mother's Day, some women, most women, wives get to be mothers. But irregardless of that, you know, it's a great testimony to your family. I didn't know this was going to happen, that your wife passed this test. What a great scripture for today for your wife.
Yeah, and it's such a great timing because we were talking about I had a filmmaker on who's got a great pro-life documentary coming out next Monday called The Matter of Life. And when you get into this, in Proverbs 31, I referenced it when I wrote something about Gina yesterday on Facebook. And, a noble character, a wife of noble character, and we all have moms, and many of the people listening to us right now are moms. And I would always caution people, hey, try not to compare yourself to other people. Your job is to be faithful. I don't know a mom that doesn't love her children, and that's the brokenness of abortion, is these moms, in their heart and in their spirit, love these children, even though they choose abortion. And we have to stay engaged and remember that. This is the way God has designed it, so it's such a great reminder, especially on the heels of Mother's Day. So thanks for that, and thanks for your kindness as always. So stocks are down again, as well as last week. I mean, today I'm looking at it down like 653 points or whatever it is. I mean, just brutal. And I look back, I'm just looking back a month, David, and if you go back to just a month ago, I mean, one of the highs earlier was about 35,500, right around in there. And then today, closing down at 32,245. I mean, over 3,000 points. So what's going on with the stock market?
Well, the Dow's down 9%. The S&P's down over 15%. The Nasdaq's down close to 25%. So this old idea, buy high, sell low frustration is haunting the markets. Buckle up. Market optimism continues to evaporate headline after headline every week. And, you know, this is not the first week. We've had six straight weeks of the Dow falling last week. And now it looks like we're started off of the seventh week. We're the longest losing streak in 10 years. Stocks could see more downturn if we watch a couple things. The 10-year yield above 3%. Is not good for the market, and it's at 10.03 right now. So it broke above 10, broke above of 3, the 10-year yield last week. That's a bad news for stocks. Also watch Apple, $150. If it breaks that, we're at 152. I think we closed that today or somewhere around there, 153. Microsoft, 270. Watch that. If we break below that number, I think it might have did that today. I'd have to look. We're going to probably head lower. And, you know, this is all because the Fed, you know, ironically, the dollar is up 7.5% this year, and gold should be down 20% in that environment, and it's up 1.8%. So we're not in normal markets. Oil up 27%, down 5% today. A lot of swings going on in the market.
Yeah, just bizarre. And it was one of the stocks that I'm actually happy to see plummet is Disney. Disney's down more than 30%. It's the worst performing stock this year on the Dow Jones Industrial. And I think they're paying a price for them wanting to get into the political arena, and especially with that kind of a radical perspective on human sexuality and what's good for children. But the rest of it is just brutal. So we often talk about, I love how you do this, David. You bring it into the conversation every week. What are billionaires and hedge fund managers doing because they've got more to lose than anybody else. Of course, they have more to gain, and of course, but they're not billionaires for no good reason. I mean, these are very, very smart people. So what are they saying about all this?
And this is their forte, and they're not talking very good things about it. It's Morgan Stanley, Mike Wilson, the guy who's been saying the market's going to go down. He's been saying it for 4 months. He's still saying it. Goldman Trader, one of the largest, he's saying this market is a market that is going to bleed to lower lows. Another Goldman guy, hedge fund guy, Tony Pasquarello, he says this rally is nothing but a huge bear market squeeze. Stocks will be going lower. The best days are behind us. We've never seen a setup like this before. Here's an economist, Bella Rosa, he says, we are nowhere near the bottom. I can keep going on. Here's a 78-year-old fund manager, seen it all, done it all, David Wright. He said, we're in the biggest bear market of my life.
Whoa.
He's saying we're going to go a lot lower. We're ignoring the fundamentals of this, and there we've reached peak complacency, is what he said.
Wow.
We can go on. How about this guy? Let's end with this. Peter Grangich. Situation is severe, and Graham Summer says the stock market is now in very serious troubles. All bets are off because of the Fed.
Wow. Yeah, and so there's the Fed, which I've been hearing a lot of things all weekend, David. We're talking to David Fisher, Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. Hearing about the Fed, not soon enough. Not fast enough. I was listening to one show on Saturday. They're like, the interest rate really needs to go up to like 3-3.5% to get a handle on inflation. So is there any way they can actually maneuver for like a soft landing, or is the massive inflation still coming? What about the Fed?
So the Ray Dalio, he's a billionaire, Bridgewater.
Yep.
He says the Fed's in the greatest dilemma ever since the 1970s. Eric Peters, hedge fund manager, says we're on our own now. Without a Fed safety net, it's a sobering reality. Sam Zell says billionaire investors warn the economy could face serious problems. And here's a report that says the inflation number being 8.5%, the CPI number being 8.5%, the interest rate of the Fed now at a 0.75%. In the 70s, the Fed funds rate was 19%, and the CPI number was 1 point less, 18%.
Wow.
This report says we got to get close to the CPI number, the Fed fund rate. They're not going to do that. And I'll quote Peter Grangich again. He said this is beyond the Fed's control. A recession is unstoppable.
Wow.
He said the Fed is attempting to land a B-2 bomber on a piece of string, and most risk markets still have their fingers in their ears and their hands over their eyes.
No, man. Yeah, that's crazy. So you mentioned this before about a little pullback in gold. So I'm just looking today where you've got the S&P 500, the Dow's down, NASDAQ's down, crude oil is down, gold is down, silver is down. So should we be concerned about that? Because we look at, and we talk about this, and we have for years, David, that gold is like on the other, gold and silver on the other end of the teeter-totter. But right now it looks like everything's on one end of the teeter-totter and it's all down. Should we be concerned about that?
Well, gold should be down year-to-date, like I said, 20%, because the strength of the dollar is up 7.5%.
Right.
That's like the Dow going up 5,000 points year-to-date, and that hasn't happened. But that's the strength of the dollar currency. So gold is acting strong in the face winds of the dollar going up. But the gold market is the paper index, not all gold products are the same, just like not
right.
all stock products are the same, just like not all real estate is the same. Gold is, there's not one product that fits all, and different people invest in different things. But the gold market that is the index of gold is a paper index, and that's been going down. So
wow.
Think of a pyramid inverted. It's just a piece of it, the very top. Most of the gold markets are sustaining their value. Some are even going up.
Yeah, which is why education now more than ever is such a big deal. If people want to get educated, they need some help understanding this. David, what do they do?
844-604-2575. That number, call us. 844-604-2575 or go to landmarkgold.com.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you. Thank you for the encouraging words as well. And I look forward to talking to you next week. Have a great one.
Congratulations to Gina.
Thank you. I'll tell her. Thanks, pal. All right, we'll talk to you later. Thanks so much. Yes, congratulations to Gina. Way to go, Gina! That's so cool. So, a little celebrating tonight at the Noble House. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.